and welcome to Portal Paranormal Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tuesday Miles.
And I'm Angela Thomas.
How are you, Angela?
I am fine, Tuesday Miles. How about yourself?
I'm okay. I've been grouchy today, I think.
Oh.
I hate this. You know what? This is the thing, and we'll talk about that more, about whether or not, you know, I mean, the effects of the Earth energy affects psychics and mediums and stuff. But before we do that, can you give our listeners where they can see our website at and our information on it?
Absolutely, Tuesday. Well, if you are listening to the show, you may also wish to visit our website at www.portalparanormaltalkradio, where you may find out more about today's guest, Joanne Gerber. Now, Joanne is a psychic medium, and she is world-renowned. You may listen to Joanne on Live 365 Radio, Tricom, BBS Radio, and Satellite Radio UK, just to name a few. A live virtual auditorium is also available on paltalk.com under the Social Issues category, or you may go to paranormalradionetwork.com for a direct link to the auditorium.
Well done. Thank you. Yes, Joanne. You know, I spoke with Joanne earlier in the week. That was Joanne Gerber. And, you know, I hadn't heard a whole lot about her yet. But then again, like, you know, I mean, there's, you know, as we say, there's the psychics that are a dime a dozen here nor there, and we always don't get to hear about every one of them. But I have to say to you that she's really making a name for herself. And I have to say, move over Sylvia Brown, because this gal is coming up.
Now, I agree with you. In fact, she is doing more than just mediumship. But I don't want to, you know, belittle or make that minimum, because actually, she has been a psychic medium that is involved in scientific research through the University of Arizona with Dr. Gary Schwartz, and she's also a certified psychic medium through the Forever Family Foundation. And so she has gone through a great deal of testing, but you know, Tuesday, not only is she degreed, but she also is a hypnotherapist. She's a metaphysical hypnotherapist, as well as a clinical hypnotherapist. She's a spiritual teacher. I mean, I could go on and on about Joanne Gerber, but you're absolutely right. She is making a huge name for herself.
She sure is. You know, she's also involved now with Dr. Julie, I think it's Bichelle, and it's at the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Now, I'm not sure, Angela, we'll have to double check on this and even ask Joanne if that program with Dr. Gary Schwartz is still actually ongoing, because it does state, I had read that they were finished with that particular research project, and so Dr. Bichelle has actually moved into another program. So we'll have to check to see exactly really if that program is still ongoing. I know that we wanted to have Dr. Gary Schwartz on our show, and have not been successful on contacting him, although we've gone just about everywhere we can. So, but we're going to still pursue him and see if we can really still get, you know, Dr. Gary Schwartz on the show for our future.
Well, I want to let you know, Tuesday, that the Veritas program has officially ended, but
okay.
Now it is the Sophia program in which Swords has entered into. So
okay.
A lot of good scientific research being done out there.
And Angela, why do you think that these psychics go through these programs?
Well, you know, I think that one of the main reasons that they're motivated to participate in a program is, number one, to help others and to also help, prove that there is a living consciousness after we have passed on. Secondly, you know, Tuesday, you know, as a psychic medium yourself, and I do the same type of work, we like to help others, and so if we are able to not only enter into research, but also to work with clientele, especially, you know, a medium's work is to bring in those messages from our loved ones, that helps with the grieving process. And so that's just a few of the reasons why psychic mediums would enter into that sort of program.
Well, also, too, I mean, the fact is that here it is, you know, if you were seeking out a psychic, you know, for information that you wanted, would you seek out one that was at a the price you could afford, or would you seek out one that was qualified, you know, had a certificate in what they were doing, had gone through all these programs? I mean, you know, really, because sometimes, being certified in all that aspect, though, Angela, doesn't always mean that the person's going to, you know, select you, that the fact is what they can afford, and therefore, are they, you know, cheating themselves because of it? Are you getting what you pay for?
Well, I have to tell you, Tuesday, you're definitely getting what you pay for with a psychic that has gone through certification. Because these psychics that go through certification have to go through a monumental amount of testing, and various testing at that. So when they are certified by, let's say, the Forever Family Foundation or Dr. Gary Schwartz himself through the program, then you know that these psychic mediums have met every benchmark and then some. And so if one is going to pay for a private session with a psychic, then they are definitely getting their money's worth, and that's my opinion, because,
right,
you know, these certifications are not something that says, okay, you are now certified for life, because that's not how it works. These psychics have to keep up those certifications by going every year.
And that's a lot of work. And it also becomes, you know, it is expensive, too, for the psychics. The fact is they have to pay for some of these courses. And I was just reading upon a couple of them, and they were, one of them was for like $600 for a 4-week program. So, you know, I mean, in that in itself, I mean, if you're going into the professionalism of being a psychic, and also, too, I want to bring up the fact is, too, is some in some cities and states, you know, and you should check with your local city, they do have laws and regulations, and now they call them fortune tellers.
Yes.
And the fact
is that
they do have laws and regulations regarding that, and you can be fined. Now, I noticed that in particularly my city on this, that you have to be an ordained minister in order to give spiritual counseling, is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
The minute that you call it fortune telling, well, they call it fortune telling, of course. But, you know, there's a fine that can come along with it. So, you know, I mean, here it is. Is it the fact that you're giving messages to somebody in another state? Does that still count? No, it counts that where the person is sitting at. The person who's giving the messages is where it counts at. So there's a lot more to this instead of just saying, hey, you know what, I'm a psychic, let me give you a reading, and that's it. There's not. There's a lot more to it.
Yeah, absolutely, Tuesday. And, you know, I'm sure that people have come across those that have to make a statement that this is just for entertainment purposes only. And so that is a state requirement, and of course individual states have their individual laws. I know in my own area there are some counties that allow this sort of business to go on, and then other counties that are proactive at making sure that they don't. So very interesting.
And somebody's making a point in the virtual auditorium. These are man's laws, not universal laws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there you go. Is that the fact is this is man's laws? It's not something that is spiritual led as far as doing the right thing. You know, and I think, you know, Angela, I don't think it's a bad thing about the medical. You know, the fact is that, you know, unless you've got a doctor's degree, you know, and even though maybe that you are that type of psychic that can intuitively pick up a medical issue and you want so badly to say, hey, you know what, have you looked into something, because I'm getting that there might be a problem there. And here it is that maybe they had no clue and you're picking that up. Are we binded by laws that says that we can't do that, and yet here it is that we can help save someone's life by saying something about it?
Well, you know, I think it's always a good idea that any psychic out there working, if they are receiving such a message, they can, or at least should say, this is what I'm picking up. However, you know, please go to your medical professional, because I am not a doctor.
Right.
And I know in my own work, I certainly do encourage those individuals to seek a medical professional if I get any sort of anything regarding a health threat.
Right, and that comment was made by Trucker in our virtual auditorium. Excuse me, Trucker, I didn't use your name. I should have. Me bad. On it. Well, you know, Angel, this is the thing. You know, and this is, we're not trying to debunk psychics or anything else like that. We encourage them. We have them, you know, we're having our psychic Sunday today. We're having, you know, like again, Joanne Gerber, you know, we did some background check on Joanne. I mean, you know, I'm very impressed with her. I really am. And I'm looking forward. She'll be on our show at the top of the hour, and she's going to be taking some of your questions. So, you know, stay tuned for that. Look forward to that. And on that other note, let's see what else is in our paranormal news this week. We've got, gosh, it seems like paranormal radio shows are popping up all over the place.
They certainly are.
Everybody wants to do a paranormal show, which is great. The more information out there, the better. It's great. You know, we support other shows. On Pal Talk, there's also a couple other shows that were popping up, and they're not with the Paranormal Radio Network, but they're on their own, and you can scout around for them. I think, believe one of them was called, now I'm not sure on the full name, but it was Universal Light. Oh, and I'm not sure. I might have the name wrong. I'll look it up and see what we have, and I know that Jasmine is hosting her show. And I want to give a shout-out real quick to the girls out in Canada, and Elena and Lisa, and I'm saying shout-out to you and Hay, and thanks for contacting me. I enjoyed your time. And, again, we're still getting lots of emails from, you know, mainly in California here, a little bit here in California, but I know that we're venturing out. I know that we're also, the station is going to AM, and we're having some towers set up, so that looks for a change for us, too.
Yes, very exciting,
very exciting.
It not? And, you know, we have AM and FM stations that are adding the programming as well, but... You know, it is an incredible thing when we see our own radio network, which is Paranormal Radio Network, make that transition. And so we're very, very thrilled that we will be going actually not into AM, but FM now.
Yeehaw.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And then see, on that other note, see, I'll be on the Queen Mary at the end of the month, towards the end of the month, again with Dave Schreider and his event that he plans. He's with Darkness on the Edge of Town Radio.
And what's going on at the Queen Mary?
Well, you know, Dave's been doing this, you know, the circuit with the events where he's going out to the Palmer House and the Whaley House. And he's got the Queen Mary event. You know, a couple other events that they've been doing. They're planning on one that's out in England, I think. And he just, you know, he sets it up to where people can pay a certain price. And, you know, he has guests with the guys from the Ghost Hunters, Jason and Grant.
Mm-hmm.
That's Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson and Patrick Burns, who is with Court TV and a couple other paranormal shows. Chip Coffee, who's been on endless other shows. He's just did that one psychic show with kids. And with Ryan Buell, who is a guest on our show a couple of weeks ago with Paranormal State.
Yeah. Yes.
And so all those guys will be out there, and they host like a ghost hunt on the Queen Mary, you know. And I have to say, though, Angela, you know, as much as I love the Queen Mary, maybe because of my friend, my dear friend Peter James, but, you know, I just don't notice as much activity there as, you know, as what it used to be. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe the fact is that some of these ghosts that have been stuck there for eons have moved on, and I'm hoping they have. But or that the fact is that there just isn't that many out there, or the paranormal investigators that are going out and doing some work on the Queen Mary. It just seems that it's just been really quiet. Erica Frost is still hosting the ghost tours on the weekends, and I wish her well there on continuing to do those, but the new management company is not really pro-ghosts.
Well, I can understand on one side of it that, you know, they purchased the Queen Mary, I'm sure, with a plan, and a plan in mind. And on the other hand, you know, the Queen Mary has had a tremendous history of paranormal activity, and, you know, a lot of paranormal research has been done on that ship. Let me ask you something, Tuesday. You mentioned about the spirits and the ghosts that are on the Queen Mary and not seeing a lot of activity there. What do you think happens with spirits that have been bound to, you know, a unique environment like the ship? What do you think is happening? Do you think that they are still there and not being recognized by certain researchers? Or do you think that they move on? I mean, I don't think that suddenly they would cross over into the spirit world and be able to finally get where they need to go. Where do you think they go?
Gosh, Angela, you know, I mean, out of sight, out of mind. I mean, there's so many places on that Queen Mary that ghosts can go and just be themselves, you know, I mean, without being disturbed. And I really believe that that's what they want. They don't want to be disturbed. You know, we're going into their territory. They claim ownership of where they're at. You know, it's like setting up their own homestead again, you know, and I think that once we cross into their territory, that's when they become a little bit active. But, you know, when we're not paying attention to them, you know, I really believe the fact is that they, and it's been documented and proven that they set up their own little communities and they're doing their own little thing. You know, our hopes is that the fact is that we don't wish anybody's relative to be stuck and bound to Earth. You know, our thought is that, and what we've been taught, you know, and it might not always be the thing that does happen with them, but, you know, when we cross over, and we're supposed to move on to a better place. Then we're not supposed to have anything that we're to cling on here. Our material items no longer mean anything to us, you know, and that when we cross, then we move up to a higher divine source, and, you know, there's peace that comes with that. And it's, to me, saddened that here it is, that there's so many that are staying on this level just right above where we were at before we died. You know, how sad is that? I don't want to look forward to staying around here. I'm done. You know, there's nothing here left for me to do. I'm looking for that cloud nine. I want to go and rest and for whatever next is coming up next for me. You know, but it seems that these, you know, for our spirits that are leaving our body, you know, with the amount that is being documented, I mean, not just from me, not from the next-door neighbor, but from, you know, you have to look in. There's how many psychics are around everywhere? How many paranormal investigators? There's many in every state that are all documenting the amount of activity that's out there. And if you think about it, you know, why are we not moving on further? That we are able to access them so easily?
Well, you know, re-ask that question, Tuesday. What do you mean by why are we not further?
Well, the fact is, I mean, you know, they say that we're separated through you know, dimensions.
Yes.
Okay. Well, the dimensions that closed and layered? The fact is that if I'm sitting here and all of a sudden I have my, let's say, somebody in the room, their relative come in.
Right.
You know, it's that access that easily. Why is that relative here? Why can I connect to them? You know, I mean, there's not that. You think that there should be a distance. You think that the fact is that, you know, they're off doing their own thing. You know, our vibration level, so we say that we use our vibration level to connect with them. It's the frequency.
It is the frequency. It definitely is the frequency.
You know, when I think dimensions, I'm thinking, you know, hundreds of thousands of miles away.
No.
I guess it's
no.
Not.
All in the same place, all in the same space, I should say, because time, space, and dimension is all in the same place. Take some astronomy or physics, as I had to
You know, but as the fact is there proven fact for that? Is it the fact that they're just that we don't go any further than that?
Well, you know, Tuesday, the universe is very, very large.
You would think it is very large. You're right. It is extremely large.
So there's a lot of activity going on in space, time, and dimension.
Or that they stay closer to Earth.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we have no idea, because science has yet to be able to go beyond the boundaries or beyond the limitations, you know, of seeing so many planets and stars, etc. They haven't seen the entire universe. So we base our knowledge or our thoughts on what we already know.
As a psychic's point of view.
Well, as a psychic's point of view, how do you know?
Right. How
where
do you know? You're
it's
right.
Coming from.
That's right.
Other than you know that the messages that you receive are instant. I love that. I really do.
I do, too. I do, too. But, you know, this is the thing on it. You know, and if there's not a psychic out there that doesn't think about this stuff, the thing fact it is that how easy it is to access these spirits. I mean, it really is. I mean, they're just around us everywhere. You know, if there's not a house that doesn't have a ghost in or spirit in, I'm surprised.
Well, and that's true. Whether it's old or new. Because, you know, a lot of people think, ooh, I don't want to live in an old house because it's obviously going to be haunted. But actually, you know, new construction actually is around activity. Whether
True.
That is a haunting or whether it's around spirits or whether it's around a particular event or a past time. Because it's all being utilized. It's very difficult to explain, but the thing is that we have seen documentation where new structures have gone up and there has been some sort of activity, whether that's actually from the land itself or perhaps something that they're bringing into their new environment.
Well, I was going to make a comment on that because the fact is that here you can take some place that's extremely haunted, tear down the building, and build a new one. Is the haunting going to go away?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it seems more and more that the fact is that the land really has a lot to do with it also. You know, but then the fact is that what's underneath that land, you know, I mean, and this is also what I feel is important. You know, it is not easy to research land. It really isn't. As much as you think it is, it really isn't. If you want to go way back in history where you want to see if there was battlefields there, if you want to see if this was an Indian passageway, I mean, I know this because the research that I've had to do on my, you know, in my area on going back, you know, first of all, the fact is that this, you know, where I live was not always California. It was actually part of Mexico. You know, and the changes, and to see what Indians actually, you know, were traveled back and forth here, or what, you know, what type of activity, whether or not there was the Mexican, you know, army that traveled through here. In fact, this is that I'm only 3 miles from the ocean, and there was more fresh water that was this way. They didn't travel along always the coast, but they came up, you know, towards my area because there was more fresh water. You know, and trying to document the fact is the activity caused in my area because of me? Because they know that I'm a psychic? Is it because there was a lot of death around, you know, in the area? Is there stuff buried underneath me?
Well, I would say, Tuesday, that it is a combination of all of it. I mean, not only just because of spirits recognizing the frequency and vibration that you're on, but also because of the history, because of the EMF that's going on, the magnetic points, the ley lines. I mean, we could go on and on and on. So we'll just have to get a scientist to come in or a physicist to come in and explain some of these things to us.
Absolutely. And Trucker asks again, good question Trucker's bringing up in the virtual auditorium today. And he says, but Tuesday, if your neighbor is not psychic, does that mean nothing happens next door or they're just not aware of it? You know, that's funny that you asked that, Trucker, because I do have my neighbor next door finally, after this last year, recognized some ghost activity in their home. And he was in his back den, which is connected right to where my backyard is. And he went to go to bed, lay in there, and he had heard something which caught his attention. And as he looked up, he seen a ghost come right through the door. But the way the ghost was through the door is that he stuck his chest up, you know, to his head, just that part through the door, and the rest of it was on the other side. And he just and the fact is that when my neighbor, you know, looked and stuff, the ghost, I guess, turned its head and looked right at him. And he said that he just absolutely froze. He couldn't move. And he said the whole night he laid there just scared to death. And, of course, he has about 4 other male roommates, and he was embarrassed to get up and scream and run to them. You know, and so he laid there just scared as a cat. And, you know, and then the next day he didn't go to work the next day. It scared him so bad. Until finally he came over and talked to me, and I said, I told you. None of you guys listen to believe in any of my set what I'm talking about, this stuff. And I says, now you do? Now you want my help? I had to laugh. You know, and I says, but here it is that, you know, I have other neighbors that the garage door opens and closes and opens and closes. Things go on and off in the house. They don't have a clue about what it is. They think it's something malfunctioning. Maybe it could be. But on the other hand, I've witnessed so much in this neighborhood that I think I know it's something different. You know, but they're busy in their lives, and this is not what they do, and they don't pay attention to it.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I was sitting here laughing about, you know, the whole situation with your neighbor seeing a ghost, but, you know, Tuesday, when you, you know, think back when you saw your first ghost or spirit and how it, you know, affected you. I know certainly when I had my first experience, it was, you know, almost life-changing.
Well, it was when I was 19, and it was in this house. You know, I had a really weird visitation. It woke me up in the middle of the night. I was home by myself, and there was a very dark, dark figure, almost, I would say, hooded figure, that was standing in the hallway. And I seen it and went, sat up in bed, and as soon as I sat up in bed, I couldn't move any further. I couldn't move my arms, my legs. I couldn't move my mouth. I could think and I could hear, but that was about it. It seemed like it lasted forever. And as soon as I just said, you know, I remember saying, let go of me. And as soon as I did that, it went through the hallway door and I was able to move. Of course, I called my neighbor across the street at 2 o'clock in the morning and ran out the door and went over there to spend the night. But, you know, the funny thing with that was is that the next morning I got a phone call. My grandmother had died. So, you know, I don't know whether it was both associated with each other. I don't think that my grandmother went to hell and that was what this black figure was for. You know, I mean, she was a very sweet, caring, loving lady. But, you know, I don't know if that was what it was, you know, what it had to do about. As a child growing up, I would see some things, but I never would say that it was a full, you know, full-figured apparition that I would see. I would see the shadows moving up and down the hallways. I would hear little click-clacking noises and stuff, but, you know, I didn't think it was a ghost. I didn't have any idea until I was 19, and that was the first time I'd seen it. Yes, it scared me, but I dismissed it again. Went on with my life until later on when I came back to live in this house after my parents had moved. That the first time was when, you know, I was touched in the kitchen on my shoulder, and my mom had just passed about a month earlier, and I thought maybe it was just her, and then when I turned around, there was an apparition standing there, and of course, that got me to move, and then I got pulled out of bed that later on that night by my ankles, and I didn't see anything then, I just felt it touching me, but it wasn't until about a couple weeks later that my sight really kicked in, and that's when I seen this man walk through the front door, through my living room and out the back door, and then I just stood there and turned around to see if anybody else had noticed it, and nobody else in my family seen it.
Well, you know, Tuesday, I have to say that I am sure that when you first experienced those things and you became verbal about it, that many people probably thought, you know what, that Tuesday Miles has a problem. And, you know, a lot of people naturally are brought up to dismiss certain things. In fact, you know, paranormal investigators go out to disprove activity. And, of course, that's what scientists do, to disprove. You have to disprove a theory. But a lot of people dismiss information that you give to them, and it's based on their own belief system, or really it's based on what they think they know. If they don't plan for it, or that influence hasn't quite reached them yet, they just tend to say, no, can't happen.
Yeah, well, you know, I have to say I went through this my own sanity on that one, Angela. I mean, if somebody else would have thought I was crazy, I would have agreed with them. You know, and I went to the doctors, and I said, I'm having a mental breakdown here. I'm seeing things that aren't there. I'm feeling things that aren't there. And I want you to give me that test that I put the round pegs are supposed to go in the round holes, and I know that I'm going to put them in the square holes, so can you give me a pill? You know, and he's like, what kind of pill? I don't care what kind of pill it is. Just give me a pill, because, you know, that's going to fix things for me. And he just said, you know, I'm not going to do that, and he described to me what you're seeing. And so I did, and he said, go home and take pictures. See if something comes home in the pictures. And I did. And they did. They started showing up in the photos that I was taking. And I have to say to you, the first time that I was at Walmart and I had those pictures developed and there was something very obvious in the picture, I felt sorry for the lady next to me because I screamed. I couldn't believe it. You know, I wasn't the fact that I wasn't screaming because I was afraid, I was screaming because the fact is I wasn't crazy.
exactly.
that there was something there. And, you know, I mean, the relief of that in itself, you know, was just overwhelming when I came home. I didn't want to even come in the house when I came home, because now I know that there was something really there.
Yes, so you found out that you were not alone after all.
After all, I was not alone after all. Yes, you know, and the fact of it is, I mean, it, you know, when the normalcy of your life is, you know, plugging along, and all of a sudden something that you don't know a lot about, something that, you know, you're not afraid of because you've never experienced it, and all of a sudden you're experiencing it, and you have that fear. I have to tell you, it changes everything about you. It really does. It completely changes you. And it takes, you know, that you feel that you've gotten used to this world. Now you have to get used to another world, because obviously it's not going away.
Well, that's very, very true. You know, you have to live two lives. Really.
I mean,
not two lives, but you understand. You have to live on both sides of the fence. The paranormal psychic side, and then your normal, typical, before you knew about that or recognized it or realized that. And so, you know, for many it has been challenged, but thankfully, you know, there are medical doctors out there and scientists and even some mentors out there that, you know, they're tremendous. They help to bring this thing in order. And so, you know, I know personally I've been very, very grateful to many, because when my change came, and it came in a huge way, I didn't know which way to turn or who to turn to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. Exactly on that, Angela. And not only that, you know, during the first year of all of this and myself changing, you know, I had some help come in. I had an investigation team come in, and I had a team of psychics that actually came in. And, you know, supposedly the fact is that removed a lot of the, you know, the, I would say the tormentors that were in here, you know, and got rid of them. But the fact is they came back a couple days later. And, you know, I thought, oh, gosh, the relief. I'm not being touched for 2 days. Or, you know, I'm not hearing them chatter for a couple days. And I was so relieved that, oh, I can relax now. I can, you know, enjoy my home. And they would come back. And I kept thinking, okay, they're coming back. Okay, well, you're no good. You're not helping at all.
Right,
you
right.
know, why are they coming back? You know, and this is the thing, and this is for everybody out there. This is not just about me. When something around you is causing havoc, and maybe it's a ghost, maybe the fact is that you're doing it yourself, and, you know, here it is that you have somebody come in and help you try to solve your problem, and all of a sudden your problem comes back again. You got to step back and think about it, though. The problem doesn't belong to anybody else to get rid of. The problem belongs to yourself. And if
right.
you're not going to help yourself, and if you're not going to put that encouragement in yourself, and the fact is knowing that, you know what, you really do have your own power. You really do have your own say-so on how you want things to work in your life. And if you're going to give up that power, then you're going to be vulnerable. And that's what I was doing. And as soon as I finally, the light bulb went off, I said, you know what, why are you letting them disrupt your life? You wouldn't let somebody come in, you know, and disrupt your life. Why are you allowing them?
Well, you know, I believe that a lot of people who experience, let's say, negative entities, and I have to say right off that most spirit activity is not negative, but for those that experience negative entities or negative happenings in their environment, you know, they sometimes, I believe, are frozen from fear. Fear of the unknown.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, you know, I'm sure that a year later or 2 years later, and with, you know, a lot of help and information, they wouldn't fear it so much because they would have gathered the information and gathered people to address it.
Absolutely.
But initially, I'm sure that it causes a great amount of fear. But, you know, you mentioned something about, you know, that activity going away and then all of a sudden returning. It may not necessarily be the same spirit or spirits returning. It could be what's causing it is, you know, that individual or those family members who may be in some sort of chaos in their life,
mm-hmm.
or deep depression or, you know, arguments going on. And so these type of things are almost food to negative spirits. And they tend to feed off of that. And so they may, of course, unbeknownst to them, be inviting that back into their home.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that also, too. I mean, if there's a bad habit that you're doing there, the first thing you need to do is change that. You know, I mean, if that's the fact of that, what it's doing, the characteristics of it, I mean, there's so many different types of hauntings and different situations on it. And mine was that, you know, I mean, there was a lesson that I needed to learn. And this is something that I don't believe that came to me because I was, you know, at a certain age in life, at a you know, I was in my middle, you know, 30s when it started. But the fact is that, you know, I, reflecting back and seeing the different signs as growing up and throughout the years, that I did have gifts. And the fact is that I just kept ignoring them. Well, you know, for something, maybe it was the death of my mom that triggered it, opened it, said, you know what, you need to start recognizing this. It's not going to go away. You can't keep pushing it away. It's there. And, you know, and for whatever reason, if it was my turn to step up to the plate to help what we are given to help with, you know, maybe that was it. But all I know, Angela, is that when I put my foot down and said, I have had enough, this is my house, I am no longer going to be afraid of anything that's in this house, I don't want any negativity in here, get out. I mean, I wasn't that kind when I was saying it, but I...
you didn't use those nice words.
No, I cussed like a sailor.
I see.
Like a sailor. Oh, boy, did I ever. But, you know, this is the thing, though, on it, you know, and whether or not the cussing helped or not, but it was the fact is that I was so mad, you know, that my energy, I know it radiated out. I could feel it radiate out from my body. But it was putting my foot down saying, this is what belongs to me. This is my space. You know, and this is what I tell with other people. I get, you know, tons of emails and stuff about the fact that they're having trouble with something in their home that they don't want there. And the fact is that they're being very unsuccessful about getting rid of it. And I says, well, you know what? You're giving up your own power. You decide whether it's going to be there or not. And that means that also, too, if you're doing something that is a bad habit, you know, if there's chaos in your house, if there's arguing constantly, if there's this or this or that, like you said, that could be adding fuel to the fire.
Well, you know, and I also think that attitude is everything. And, you know, speaking of attitude, Tuesday, you and I were discussing not long ago about particular attitudes from clients that we know as far as some of the information that has been given to them, especially new clients. Now, older clients know, but new clients sometimes hear information and they can't believe it until, of course, it happens.
Well, this is the thing, and you're right, we were talking about this. You know, what happens when you're, you know, getting a reading and all of a sudden the client can't take any of the information that you were giving? And I want you to share that story with the one that you shared with me, Angela, because I think this is really important, too, because sometimes, you know, you get the clients that say, you know what, you're a debunker. You don't know what you're saying. You're not a psychic because you're not giving me anything that I need to know.
Well, you know, I do a lot of psychic readings, and I like to use the tool of Tarot. And so I had just moved to a place in New Orleans, Louisiana, and thought, it's time to take a break from all of this unpacking. And fortunately, I had my computer up. And I went online and decided I would relax in a chat room. And so someone said, Angela, will you please just, you know, offer me a reading? So I agreed, didn't have any tarot with me at all. But I said, hey, if anybody has cards, pull all 78 cards, tell me what they are and let me read for this young lady. So I did, and she was taking the information. Yes, yes, yes. She was aware of that. Yes. You know, fantastic. A lot of accolades. Yay, Angela, wonderful. And then I said, you know, between 2 hours and 2 days, you're going to be hearing from Barbara. And Barbara has some urgent need or urgent request. And please, whatever you do, don't deny her, you know, act upon it. And she said, Angela, I don't know a Barbara. Well, my impression was, oh, yes, you do. So I said, yes, you do. And she said, no, don't know a Barbara. You know, everything else that you've said has been right on and wonderful, but I got to tell you, I don't know a Barbara. so, you know, I, you know, you can only deliver the message, and that's it, you know, because one of the reasons for a reading by a psychic is to be able to get information on influences and what's around the corner, so either you can plan for it or try to divert it or, you know, utilize that information. So wouldn't you know that actually it wasn't 2 days later, it was actually 2:30 in the morning following that reading. And the phone rings with this lady, and guess who's on the phone?
Who?
Barbara. And it was Barbara was happened to be the neighbor's adult daughter. And of course she didn't, the lady I read for didn't think of Barbara because she wasn't really in the social circle.
Of course,
and
okay.
So Barbara called with urgency because the house was on fire and her invalid mother was on the second floor of the house. So Barbara was calling her to say, please come help me move my mother. So you see, you know, when we give these messages, it may not make sense to that particular person at the time because why? We're looking at the future tense of things. So because she didn't know a Barbara, she immediately dismissed the name and the whole message. So anyway, you know, you live and learn.
You know, so you're, and also too, that was a great story, Angela, on that. So in you know, like you were saying, it wasn't in that social network around her. It wasn't something that she could recognize immediately or something that she was dealing on a daily basis or knowing somebody on that daily basis that she dismissed not even knowing a Barbara.
Right. She just dismissed it all. But, you know, we find that, and it's not just myself. I know you and many other mediums out there and psychics out there that tend to chit-chat with one another and talk about these things. And it's how can we stress to an individual that just because you're not aware of something does not mean that it's not happening right around the corner. Because obviously a message given through an individual is very important or you wouldn't be receiving that message at all.
Oh, I agree on that too, on it. I agree. And sometimes the messages, like I said, are not for today, or they were for tomorrow, or they were from yesterday. You know, I mean, there's always that past, present, future.
Mm-hmm.
That they get on this. That's amazing, absolutely amazing, Angela, on that story, on it. You know, I mean, and to get the validation, this is a thing, too, also. You know, if you're receiving a message, and the fact is you don't recognize it right then, and you do recognize it later and it comes up, you know, email your psychic or your reader that you receive that information from and let them know.
Oh, yes, that's one of my requests.
You know, I mean, it's a good validation
yes.
for them knowing that, you know, what their work that they're doing and their messages, you know, I'm having trouble with that word today.
Messages.
It just wants to swirl all over the place. But their messages that they're, you know, that they're giving are, you know, can be validated. And that's a good thing. I think it really is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, on that note on it, so on, let's see, what else we have? Something else we were going to bring up today on that one, too. Oh, I want to ask real quick on this one, Angela. Do you think that the energies of the universe affects the psychics? Like, for instance, because I said I was grouchy. I've been grouchy all day long.
Yes.
You know, whether or not, you know, if our moons are fuller or if, you know, I mean, here it is that we have, you know, what is it? Oh, it's in retrograde. What is that? Mercury? Oh.
Mercury in retrograde.
That drives me crazy. You know, and I can't, and when people bring up that word, well, it must be Mercury is retrograde. That drives me absolutely nuts. What the heck is that supposed to mean?
Well, you know, to astrologers, Mercury in retrograde is just saying that communications and mechanical things tend to go in reverse. In other words, things feel very challenging. It may be difficult to talk. Your computers may go down. Your vehicle may be experiencing problems, etc. Now, on the positive side of that, it's always an excellent time to plan. You know, make out your plans and what actions you're going to take after. You know, you don't want to sign any kind of contracts until after the retrograde goes or the Mercury goes direct. And so, you know, there's a lot of planets out there that go in retrograde and go in direct. But Mercury is one of them that astrologers tend to pay attention to, because it does indeed affect one of the most important things that we do, and that is communication.
We're sitting here, and thank you for that, Angela. But what caught my eye was with Auntie Brenda in the virtual auditorium, and she's making some comments, and she's saying, if it wasn't for Angela's reading, I wouldn't be here today. And she's saying that you were the first to ever give her a reading, saying now 5.5 years later that she's a reader herself, and she's saying that you made a big impact on her life.
Oh, well, wonderful. Well, God bless you, Brenda. Thank you very much. Yes, I have to tell you that. I do recall reading for Brenda, and the one thing I have to tell you is that, you know, she has gone on to do extraordinary things, and I don't know if you utilize remote viewing or not, Tuesday. Do you utilize remote viewing?
Mm-hmm. Sure do.
Well, you know, this young lady here that is visiting us in the virtual auditorium has become an absolute incredible remote viewer. And so, you know, I would love to hear from all of the remote viewers out there listening to the show to say, you know, to tell us how you utilize remote viewing. And for those of you that are listening and don't quite understand what remote viewing is, in the nutshell, the short version,
yes,
is that one can be anywhere, you know, sitting at your desk or, you know, wherever in your own home, and literally go anywhere in the world with your mind and your energy and see a place or an object. You know, a lot of companies Tuesday are utilizing remote viewers, and they utilize them to find minerals, or let's say, you know, a $1 million piece of equipment has become, you know, it's gone, it's lost, it's stolen, and maybe a company's in South America and they say, where's my $1 million piece of equipment? Where's
hey
the
now.
Remote viewer?
Hey now, I like that one. Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
but,
I'd like to do that.
So thank you, Brenda. That was very sweet of you to say.
Well, I don't know, but Gia is saying that, yeah, well, why can't he tell me where I'm going to win the lottery?
You know, a lot of people ask that.
They do ask that a whole lot.
It has become an inside joke, you know. And I wish that psychics could see those numbers for themselves. Maybe some do. Who knows?
Yeah, it's just putting them in order. I've been working on that for a long time, trying to, you know, read these numbers. I really do practice at them quite a bit, you know, and they have on Joanne Gerber's site, and that's www.joannegerber.com. If you go to her site, she actually has some ESP tests that you can do. It's under her category Psychic Fun Pages. She has the ESP test, Chinese Astrology, Numerology, Natal Report, and Tarot.
Oh, yes.
She's got that. And so I was playing on it earlier and stuff to do it, and where it is that you select a number, you know, and the computer first selects the number, then you select it to see if you can match the number. And so, you know, I was doing pretty good. I got about 8 out of 10, you know, and stuff. But the fact is that, you know, how I see numbers is that they'll actually kind of have a little bit of a glowing sense to them you know, and I've been trying for years just to put those numbers right in order, you know, and some weeks I've been successful, not winning a whole lot, but winning a little bit, you know. But the fact is that, you know, has anything ever going to give to us that's going to make our lives easy in that aspect? I mean, are we born to be rich, or are we born to earn it, you know? And then there's the other people who win $340 million, you know, and why them and not us? So I just think that maybe it's just based upon luck.
Well, you know, I think sometimes it's a little bit more than luck. I think that we are where we're supposed to be for this time right now. And so whether you're a psychic or not, we are where we're supposed to be for the opportunity to learn the lesson and to gain the experience to move forward.
Well, you know, I always say that, you know, I think I'm done with my lessons here. I've learned pretty much. I mean, I won't give out my age, but I've lived pretty long as far as learning things. I'm done. I want them to go to my next-door neighbor and teach them for a while and let me just win the lottery and just, like, you know, have fun. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And I would be willing to share it. This is the first thing I say. You know, I say a little prayer. The fact is that my intentions are to share this money to help things better for other people, not just only for myself. I do include myself a little bit there. But, you know, hey, and, you know, and, well, nobody's listening. I'm still not getting it.
Well, perhaps you need to practice the law of acceptance and the law of attraction. Perhaps all of us should practice the law of acceptance and the law of attraction, and we all become lotto winners in the future.
Hey, you know, and like what Linda's saying in the virtual auditorium sounds like making a deal with the universe. You know, that's not a bad deal. It's about everybody wins in it. Everybody gets here and there, you know, and here it is. You know, I was listening to the news where this man went out and he was giving $100 bills out to everybody. And, you know, I think that's wonderful. I think that's absolutely wonderful. Is he making a difference? Well, he did in that one person's life that he handed them a $100 bill.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, and that's, I think that's in itself. If you're going to put out good, you know, are you going to get that good back?
Yes. You know, I certainly believe in karma Tuesday. At least we will get what I consider threefold or tenfold. And I think it's also based on our intent and our motivation on why we are giving out to begin with. The whole thing is that it does matter to individuals to receive help or a boost up from another. And so, you know, that's what we're here for, to help others, no matter what we can do or what we do or don't do. You understand?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
I always say that one word or one action affects the masses.
Oh, I think so, too. Absolutely. And it only takes a second. And whether it's a smile that you give to somebody else or you, or for a dollar for the person who's standing on the corner who is homeless, the fact of it is that, you know, you're not giving because you're waiting for, for whatever to get back. You're giving because it helps. And it's the right thing to do. And for whatever reason, when you're not looking and you need it, you'll notice that it will come back to you.
Absolutely. Well, Tuesday, we're almost nearing the hour where we're bringing on Joanne Gerber. And I would like to let the listeners know that in the United States, we do offer a toll-free number. That number is 877-786-0562. And Joanne Gerber will be offering a few, you know, short readings today on the show. So, again, the toll-free number is 877-786-0562. Or you may wish to join us at on PowTalk.com in the social issues category in the Paranormal Radio Network, where our show is live streamed in a room. And so feel free to join us in the room. Raise your hand for those of you that are visiting and participating with the show today. Joanne will certainly answer some of your questions.
Yes, but just to let them know, just because your hand's up on that does not mean that all of you will receive readings and stuff on there. We will let her choose who she wants to on that list. So, you know, because the fact is we don't want to set it up to where, you know, it looks like it's already pre-selected. So we're going to let her choose if it's on there. But if, you know, by putting your hand up does mean that you are allowing, if that information is being given to you, that you're accepting it. So,
certainly.
Okay. On that note, then we'll go ahead and go to a break. And stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tuesday Miles.
And I'm Angela Thomas.
And we have our guest, Joanne Gerber, joining us today. Joanne, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm perfect. How are you, Angela?
Wonderful. Wonderful. Joanne, welcome to the show, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here this evening.
Well, we've been going over your site and all kinds of information about you. You know, we are just impressed with all that you do, and I have to say, and I said this before, she looks marvelous in purple.
Oh, it's my favorite color.
Oh, it does. Oh. It matches you very well.
Thank you.
Angela, why don't we talk about the program with Dr. Gary Schwartz and what that entails with Joanne?
Well, you know, Joanne is an integrative psychic, or has been and still is an integrative psychic, for a program that Dr. Gary Schwartz at the University of Arizona runs. And, you know, like we said before on the show, for any psychic medium to go through a program and to actually participate in it, there is a variety of benchmarks that they have to meet. And Joanne, can you tell our listeners, as a psychic, what did you have to accomplish with Dr. Gary Swartz and his program there in order to participate in the research?
Well, the program actually, I just want to let people know that it did come to a close as of the beginning of the year, which it's actually being continued on with a new institute called the Winbridge Institute, which is directed by Dr. Julie Bischel, who also was directing the program over at Veritas, along with Dr. Gary Swartz.
Mm-hmm.
So they're continuing on with the research, which is wonderful.
Wonderful.
But the actual program itself, I participated in the program. I was welcomed in February of last year, so I was in the program for nearly a year. And there's a 9-step process that a medium has to go through in order to become an integrative research medium. And a lot of it is, you know, there's questionnaires, interviews, research training, grief training, and several blinded email and phone readings as well, basically to see where the medium is at with their work.
Okay.
And, you know, also about their own integrity and you know, a lot of things are taken into consideration, not just the readings themselves.
So actually, you had to meet all of those benchmarks, which I am sure is a difficult thing to do for anyone, but not so difficult with you having so many abilities. Can you tell our listeners what a medium is?
A medium is a channel. A medium communicates with those who have passed on. I term myself as an evidential medium because I strive with every reading, with every client that I connect to bring through information that would be evidential, information that would provide support that we do survive the change that we call death. So I work in getting information from the other side, from loved ones passed on, that sometimes I don't understand as a medium. Sometimes we don't always understand what the spirit is communicating, but the person who's having the session, the client, can understand, which is even more validating.
I like that when you say that we do survive death.
Yes, and, you know, that's where the word evidential comes in, because it's proof of surviving the change that we call death. And it's very important. I feel it's very important in a medium's work to be able to bring through evidence. You know, as we know, mediumship can vary, you know, from one reading to the next. You can give a lot of evidence in one reading and only maybe a few pieces in the next. And we have no control over what the spirit wants to communicate or how they're going to communicate. It all has to do with their energy and maybe even the energy of the medium or other conditions that we don't have a so-called scientific explanation for right now. But hopefully we will have more information. Mediumship has certainly come a long way over the past decade. So it is really wonderful. And, you know, a medium will learn with each reading as well. We'll learn about their abilities. We'll learn what is so-called the language, the symbols, the information coming through our senses. How do we interpret that? How do we channel that through? What does all this mean when we piece it all together? And a lot of times a client can help the medium to understand what the medium is receiving. Again, because, you know, we're a channel. We're bringing through the information. We're trying not to analyze it. We're trying not to interpret it ourselves. And when it can be validated, it's wonderful because it does show that evidence.
Right. Angela, hold on. Let me give you her website. So that way you can go to Joanne's website and see her picture on the front, so you know, you can picture or visualize who's talking to us at www.joannegerber.com. So go take a look so you know what we're talking about as we speak to Joanne. You know, there's a comment here that you say, Joanne, here that you says, the spirit world exists on a different vibration other than our material world. What do you mean
mm-hmm.
by that?
Okay, well, the loved ones passed on, those in spirit, the spirit communicators is what we call them, they vibrate at a higher vibration than we do in the material world. In other words, how I can explain this is that, for instance, you can look at it as, say, the material world or the medium being, say, the ceiling fan. And the spirit world, because the higher vibration, being like the blade of a helicopter, where when we're communicating with the other side, we have to raise our vibration, we have to speed that up, and they have to lower theirs so that we meet in a midpoint range so that the communication can take place. In other words, mediums will actually raise their vibration or raise their consciousness in connecting with the other side.
I absolutely love that.
I do too. It's all sad.
Joanna, as a medium, what has been your most compelling experience or moment as a medium? What has stuck with you or made a vast impression through your work?
Well, many things. There's a few that stand out to me. I, as a medium, I always look for the validation. It's very important with my work. And I can remember a couple of years ago doing a demonstration in New Hampshire. And it was a small demonstration, maybe about 20 people or so. And when I was driving in the car, of course, I'm talking to spirit as I'm driving along the highway, and I'm putting the intentions out there, and I'm asking those loved ones on the other side who are able to communicate to their loved ones here at the group that I'll be going to, you know, start to talk to me, come through, give me information. It's what I call, almost like information beforehand, like almost like a precog, but in a mediumistic sense.
Certainly.
And so I had this little girl, a little young girl, about 8-9 years old, come through and gave me her name. And when I went to the demonstration, I had given the information, and nobody could understand it. And then, I'd given other pieces with it. I talked to her, and I said she's talking about, you know, a lake. She's showing me something to do with a lake around her passing, and, can anyone understand this? And someone had raised their hand after hesitation in the room and said, I think it belongs to a neighbor of mine, and she explained to me that about the passing of this young girl. And I said, well, there's a message here, and I gave her the message to give to the family. Well, and I said, if the family would like to see me for a session, you know, I'd be happy to give them a session. I wouldn't even charge them. It's a little girl that had passed, and I know she really needs to communicate with her parents. And it was months afterwards that I got an email. This one was able to pass the message along to the parents, and they had sent me an email. They were very skeptic about, the whole process of mediumship and psychics and all that. And the father had emailed me and said, you know, I think we're ready. I would like to talk to you. And he had wrote in the email that the day that I went to the demonstration in October of that year was also his birthday.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, this girl didn't have any direct connection with anybody in the group, but she knew if she came through that she'd be able to get the message to her dad. And it was just very healing, I think, for everybody, you know, because some people were aware of what had happened with this young girl about her passing, and it was just very healing for the family and the community. And to me, you know, when I had read that email, I'm thinking, my God, you know, I mean, it's his birthday that day. What other day, you know, what's a better day to pick than to come through on your dad's birthday and give a message?
Very significant.
You know, so it's really wonderful. And, you know, even as I'm talking about it now, I get the chills because it's just so profound. And it's just, you know, it's really what we're here to do as mediums. You know, we're here to bring that healing, to bring that closure to those that are grieving.
And especially with a child, too.
Yes.
The fact of it is that, you know, I know that if it was my child, you know, the thought of worrying, you know, even though that our bodies are no longer associated with us on that aspect, but still worried, who's taking care of my child? Who's taking care of my child's energy or their spirit or their soul? You know, I would still think about that. And I, you know, for them to receive a message from their own child on that aspect has got to be so healing for them.
Yes. And I think it's one of the most difficult losses. For a parent to lose a child, because we never expect that our children are going to pass before we do. And I think it's very, very difficult. I think all grief is difficult, and there are many different tragic situations around people's passings, but I think the loss of a child is just traumatizing.
Well, it's out of order. Here it is that we feel that, you know, I mean, our grandparents and then our parents, and then, you know, as it goes in order. And when that's disrupted, you know, I mean, it's got to be absolutely just heartbreaking for them. And
right.
That is, Angela, that's great. I love it that was the best story you could have told in regard to the child on it. That makes it all worthwhile.
It does. It really does.
Well, you know, Joanne, when you are working in front of a group and you are delivering a message, and you mentioned the importance of offering evidence, have you ever stumbled across someone that you're speaking to who perhaps, you know, is quiet or is not accepting the message because of, let's say, psychic amnesia? They don't remember even what their name is?
Sure, that's happened. I've had readings where I've done a phone reading for somebody and they emailed me, you know, months later and said, oh my God, the name, like, say, we'll say Mary. Oh, that's my grandmother's name. I can't believe it. When you said Mary, I didn't know who you were talking about. You know, things like that, even a name. Yes, it has happened. And I do believe in the psychic amnesia because I have had validations after readings where people would say, I didn't understand when you mentioned this or that during the reading, but it all made sense afterwards, or after I talked to my, you know, members in the family, or after I thought about the information you gave me. So yes, and you know, as a medium, when we're receiving information, like I said earlier, you know, it's not for us to understand. Sometimes we may not understand what things mean, but we're hoping that they will understand the context of the information coming through, and that it will be their validation. I usually suggest to people, if they don't understand something, to write it down and just hold on to it. And something most likely will evolve at a later time, or it's something that they'll need to validate with other family members or friends, you know.
Well, now, Joanne, let me ask you.
That was a psychic message, I think, was there.
Yeah.
A little music.
Do you also teach, is that correct?
I do, yes.
So now, do you teach psychic development, or what workshops or classes do you offer?
I teach various levels. I do from the very beginners, so people who just, you know, have no knowledge of anything to do with psychic terminology or any experiences, they can take the class. Just a desire to learn is all that's required. I teach an advanced class, which is pretty much like level two, which is going more into the actual class practice, working more into to deepen the work psychically and mediumistically. And then I teach another level, which is working with other professional psychics and mediums who want to take their work to the next level.
Mm. Well, and this is all a class that they come to you on? This is nothing that you're doing online?
Well, actually, I have been teaching, you know, interactively, you know, face-to-face classes, but I'm going to start offering some online classes, and I'm going to offer a free online class, actually, on my website in April at my Spirit Chat Room.
And this is at your JoanneGerber.com website?
Yes.
They can find out this information. Now, see, now, people, if you're listening to this, and be smart about this, because Joanne is, like I said, she's world-renowned psychic. This is, you know, and this is, would be something very special for you guys to all do. So be smart and go to her website and sign up for her class. Oh, God, I hope you don't get 100,000 people that are...
You know, I would love to get 100,000. I mean, it's a forum that I've created so that people can come online for free and learn. It's, you know, a lot of times I give an inspirational talk, and then mini readings afterwards where I have other wonderful guests that come on, and psychics, mediums, healers, life coaches, people in science, giving talks. And, you know, if they're a psychic or medium, they'll give a few readings afterwards as well. And it's just a great place because we just don't have accessibility to all this everywhere. And even within the United States, there's many what I call the dry spots where people have to go to the next state to drive 500 miles just to find a place to take a class, or, you know, go to a spiritualist church, for instance, that offers classes, things like that.
Well, in a way, you know, that's a good thing, because you not only you're teaching them, you're helping psychics to be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as what I always say, the psychic that's not being responsible with their gifts is the psychic out of control.
Right.
You know,
yeah, that's important.
It is
yeah.
important.
It's a gift, and it's a blessing. And, you know, I'm grateful for it every day. You know, I give thanks for this and for my ability to help other people on my path. And it's truly a blessing. And I think that if anybody feels they have the potential, then, you know, look into it. Read some books. Take some classes. Learn about it. And as you learn about it, you also learn about yourself and you grow.
Now, you see on your, and I'm reading some of your website here, but there's a part where that you raise your vibration.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do, or your frequency, how do you go about doing that?
Well, what I do before each reading that I do is if I'm doing, say, a phone reading, I have an appointment for a phone reading, I'll sit and meditate, you know, anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes before the session. And just, you know, with a pen and paper, and just write things down as they're coming to me. And I'm praying, and I'm asking, you know, if it's somebody looking to connect with a loved one past, I'm going to ask for those in spirit, like I did when I talked about the demonstration I did in New Hampshire. I'm going to ask to be connected to those in spirit who can communicate with their loved ones here, you know, to come through and talk to me. Basically, I start a conversation with them and just be open to receive information, whether it's, you know, clairvoyantly, clairaudiently, clairsentiently, whichever way that they're communicating through my senses. I'm going to be observant of that. I'm going to collect that information from them. I'm going to work with that information in the reading. And while doing the reading, I'm going to work with the spirit in hopes that they'll also keep communicating with me. It's kind of like a three-way conversation. So I strongly believe in intention, because I do feel people will ask me, you know, many times they'll say to me, well, you know, or what if my loved one doesn't come through? And, you know, I say, well, no medium can guarantee that your loved one that you're thinking about wanting to communicate with will come through. We can't. That's, you know, if we were to say, yes, we can guarantee you that Uncle Joe's going to come through, it would be a lie. It wouldn't be honest. And I feel that's really important, integrity, you know, with our work. And I, you know, put my intentions out there, and I tell them, this is my theory, that along with the intention, the medium's intentions, along with your love for that person past, it helps to raise a vibration. It helps to link in with that energy. It doesn't guarantee that it can happen, but I feel that it does help in raising the vibration. It's kind of like if you're in a room with people who are very positive, that the room vibration is going to be higher than a room with people very negative. So I feel that that does help in connecting with the energy.
Angela?
Well, I think, you know, I love absolutely listening to Joanne, because she is filled with information. Thank you very much for that. I'm sure that those listening that are in this psychic work will take that and run with it. Joanne, how important would you say meditation is for those individuals out there that would like to try what you just explained?
I think meditation is key, and you know, I'm not saying that you have to become a meditation guru. You know, I can remember going back when I first started to take development classes, I was told it was a meditation class, because sometimes that term is used for spiritual development circles, which encompass more than just meditation. So I had went out, and I'm going back like 8 years ago, and I bought the book Meditation for Dummies or something like that. I read it cover to cover the week before. I said, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to, you know, so I can kind of just know what's going on and not feel foolish that I don't know how to meditate. And I came in, everybody's just sitting around, you know, nobody's sitting with their legs crossed with their, you know, palms open and meditating. And I was so relieved, because I really didn't know what to expect. And, you know, it was actually a spiritual development class where we sat and we did guided meditations. We had a teacher that would give us a guided meditation with some music playing in the background, leading us to see things, you know, to open our minds up, to relax. And I really feel that meditation is very important, either doing it in the class and also practicing at home, even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes a day. You know, I find the best time to meditate is upon awakening in the morning. You know, just stay in bed an extra 5 minutes. And we all want to stay in bed a little bit extra time in the morning. The alarm goes off anyways, right? So, you know, stay in bed and just close your eyes and just sit quietly. And maybe set your intentions for the day, you know, because what you're doing is you're putting your intentions out to the universe through your mind energy. And I think meditation involves just releasing and letting go of all the chit-chat and just focusing. And just sit quietly. And before you go to bed at night, do the same thing. And before I go to bed at night, I actually use it as time to thank, to offer gratitude to the universe, to spirit, you know, thanking spirit for my clients, for my friends, my family, my pets, you know, any other opportunities that have come along in my life on that day or that week, and just, you know, to let them know thank you. And
thank
I think
you
that's
for the
really
color
important.
Purple.
Spiritual practice is very important. It's not just about how accurate you can be as a psychic or how accurate you can be as a medium. It's all about your own self, and you're on this path for a reason. And it's all incorporated and integrated in your work, and it will help the medium or the psychic or both to develop and to reach higher levels with their work, I feel, if they have a routine spiritual practice.
Very good. I love that.
Well, we've got a couple people that have their hands that are raised up, and to see if they can receive any messages from you in spirit, though, Joanne. And would you like to do that? Would you like to see if you can connect with one of our virtual auditoriums? Now, we have, I don't know how you want to go about this. There are, I can give you the names of them, and you can, you know, choose upon which yourself that you want to on it. I'll read off like four names and then see where you want to go with that. Is how would you like to work this?
Okay, are they going to talk to me, or am I just going to tune in by their name?
You can do. We can. They can talk to you on the mic. Sure.
Okay. Okay.
We have.
You can just select someone, and I'd be happy to talk to them. That's fine.
Okay. October. I'll let you select.
Well, actually, why don't we try Empress Crying Moon?
Okay. And so, Empress, do you know how to use the mic? Do you have a microphone?
And our producers will definitely make sure that Empress can speak. And go ahead, Empress.
Just speak up a little bit louder.
And yes, we did hear you, so go come back to the mic, please. Speak a little louder and connect with Joanne. Ask your question. Well,
good afternoon. Okay, you're looking. Okay, you're looking for a psychic reading. You're looking for information about yourself.
She just said
that would be fine. Just
yeah, anything.
Okay. I didn't catch her name. Could I have her name again?
Yes. Empress, could you give us your first name, please? You could text it. We could tell her.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay. So, Empress, if you will either come to the mic or you can text in the room what your first name is for Joanne, please. And, of course, be...
Betty. Betty, first of all, I know you want to know information about yourself. A specific question would be helpful because, you know, I can just tune in as to what area is coming to me stronger. I do first want to say I feel a woman around you from the other side who just came right through here, and I feel this to be a mother's vibration. And as I feel this woman around you, I feel this was somebody who, when this woman was here on the physical, she was a very energetic woman. I feel like I just want to, like, clean my whole house, like, spotless with her, like somebody who really just kept up with everything. Also, I feel as I connect with her energy here, she's showing me that she would have been the one who would have taken care of everything when she was here. She was one who I feel that... I don't know whether Dad had passed before her. This just seems to be like what she's telling me is she was the only one. And I feel that she took responsibility for everything. She had to be the one to do everything. You understand this, Betty?
Okay, and we're waiting.
Yeah, Empress, so that we have... So we, go ahead.
Okay, and she's saying you take a lot, you fill her shoes, like you're doing the same thing that she did. And what I feel she's trying to say here with this is that to let some things go, because you've been doing a lot of things routinely year after year, and it's like you're trying to break free and do something different with your life to have more freedom for yourself. And I feel as we go into the energy of this year in 2008, these are opportunities that are coming for you. I also felt a connection with June in the family, because I feel like I need to say happy birthday for the June birthday coming up. Would you understand that connected to you or a sibling in the family?
She's saying yes with both parents. And Empress, do you understand the June?
You understand the June connection. Okay, good. And, you know, you're very gifted yourself. I kind of feel like you've been a spectator. This is what she's showing me. She's showing me standing outside the window and looking in. And I feel symbolically with this is that you're kind of watching everything that's going on around you. You've been very interested in the spiritual side of things, but you haven't been able to actually put yourself into it. In other words, like maybe taking a class or maybe actually making the time for yourself to do the spiritual things. You understand that? Okay. And it may be a time now where you're coming back to it. And I really feel as you do this, it will help to give you strength. I really feel that Mom and Dad are here to help guide you on your journey. Interesting. Okay. Interesting. I'm hearing also your name. There's either a Betty or a B name connected in spirit, too, because I'm getting capital B here, hearing your name being called out. Would you understand that? Okay. Well, just you may have to check that out, because I'm getting a capital B, and I just heard your name, Betty, being called out. So I feel either there's another woman in spirit with that name or somebody with the B name. Okay. So you may just want to make a note of that. And, there's a lot of courage and support around you. And you're very open to this. And you do pray and you do talk to your loved ones, and they are aware of that. And some days I feel sometimes that you forget about having this ability that when you ask, you will receive. And don't forget to ask. And, you know, it's really important that you can understand that and move forward with things on your path spiritually. I really feel a lot of benefits to that. I kind of feel like they just showed me a scissors, and I feel like I'm cutting these little threads all around me, and I feel like there might be some people around you that are maybe not so supportive of you going forward with your spiritual interests, and this may be a time where you need to be more centered where that is and maybe move away from this negativity. And if those people are going to be negative, to let them just be, because they have their lessons to learn, and for it not to block your path.
Right, and she's saying that's very true.
Yes, yes. And, they are with you, and I want to say many blessings and love from your loved ones on the other side, Betty.
Okay, Betty, did you hear that? That was great, Joanne.
Very good, very good. Well, Joanne, are you up for one other reading?
Sure.
So we've got a few more minutes left we can do that with, Onnit. She's saying thank you very much, Onnit.
Oh, she's most welcome.
God bless to you, too, Empress, on that
yes.
one, too. Okay, October?
Well, how about let's try with Blondie. Now, please have a specific question, because this is a radio program and we're short of time, but please have a specific question. Blondie, if you don't mind, if you can take the mic and give Joanne your first name and your question, please.
And if you could text in the room your answers, so that way we'd have more time for others on that. Thank you, Blondie. Go ahead.
Hi.
Okay.
Busy.
It's Sally Ann?
Sally Ann. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sally Ann. The first impression I am feeling around you, I feel a gentleman's vibration from the other side coming through. And I feel I'm connecting on Dad's side of the family here. And as I feel this gentleman, I don't feel it was super old when he passed. I feel like I might only be in maybe around 70-ish when I passed. And I feel a very strong gentleman. I feel somebody who was taller, somebody who really was able to carry themselves through life. And I felt this gentleman who got very ill before he passed. Like, I don't feel it was a sudden passing. I feel like there could have been a lymphedema, like a cancer within him, because I'm feeling a lot of heaviness in my chest, and I felt something moved up my body into my lung area, into my chest area with him.
Yes.
And is she acknowledging that?
Yes, yes, to all.
Okay, thank you. Because I want to say that he comes in strongly around you. He was a very strong man when he was here, too. And I want to say, if I had a question about life, I would go to this man because he had a lot of wisdom. He was very, very wise. And I feel a very loving man. He might not have been overly expressive with his feelings, but I do feel he had ways to show you that he cared. And he wants to first let you know that he's not in pain anymore. And I felt something with February here, too, like either something just passed or something is upcoming. The month of February seems to be significant.
Yes.
And she understands that?
Yes.
Okay, good. And I feel that I need to say, you know, I'm okay. And he could tell stories and make people laugh because he's got quite the personality. Somewhat of a personality that you wouldn't expect because a lot of times he was serious, but when he could tell a story, boy, he could make you laugh. And
true.
Let me just see. There's something he's showing me around helping you with your work. Or helping you to make changes with your work. Would you understand that? There's something with career changes or going into another path here, and I feel there's people around you like helping people or healing.
Yes.
She understands that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. And, okay.
And it was her birthday in February, and it was his lungs.
Okay, it was her birthday in February? Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me just see what else he wants to say here. Jeez, I don't know. I feel like I like boats, or I live near the water, or I like going down to the water, because he just showed me the water and showed me boats.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that what he's trying to say here is don't forget to take time for yourself, too, that, you know, on the other side, it's very peaceful for him. He's not in pain anymore, because that pain was from his physical body when he was here, but that he's free to be able to do the things that he loved to do when he was here. And he's concerned about you making more time for yourself to do things. And about your work. I mean, the work is a big issue right now, and I feel that there's something with either, I don't know whether you work in medical or healing, but you have very strong healing energy, and not to be afraid to lovingly assert yourself with your work, and it may involve spiritual work.
Well, I do know that she does live down by the water. That's a big yes on that, and she's given you a big yes on all of that, on it. Well done. Blondie, that was great.
Good.
Very validating. Photography, she's saying, very validating. Absolutely.
Excellent. And, you know, I just want to leave her with his love and blessings, too, to know that he's around. Talk to him.
Oh, wonderful. And she said, yes, thank you, Dad, as well. Joanne, thank you for delivering those messages. You did receive validation all the way through it.
Yes.
What a positive and incredible reading. Joanne, you know, I had read that you are a clinical and a metaphysical hypnotherapist. Can you tell us about that?
Well, yes, I am certified in both clinical and metaphysical. Right now, I have suspended myself from practicing that. Not I've been suspended, but I put that on hold for now because of my work working as a psychic medium has been so busy, and I've really decided that to focus my energy with my psychic mediumship work. I did go through training with that. I did practice that for some time, but like I said, we have our paths, and Spirit has guided me more into doing the readings more than the hypnotherapy and the past life regression sessions, which I think that, you know, any knowledge that you can acquire on your path is always in your toolbox. Because I do refer to things that I have learned from, you know, the certification. And, of course, you know, we're always continuing to grow and to learn with, you know, whatever we're doing on our path.
I agree with you there.
Joanne, do we have time? October, do we have time for one more?
Yes, we do. Joanne, okay. Are you up for that?
Okay.
Okay. Let's go with instant karma.
Okay, instant karma. If you'll come to the mic and give Joanne your first name and your specific question, please. And she is on her way.
That's his way. Where'd he go? Oh, he got red dotted. Sorry. There you go. Remove red dart. It's my fault. Me bad. Okay, go ahead, Jason.
So that's a two-part question. First of all, as far as believing bad things happening to good people, you know, as a psychic, when we're receiving information, we hope for the most positive, and I do focus on the most positive. Sometimes things can come through that are maybe not so positive. However, you know, I feel that, you know, if you're getting information, I don't know whether you're doing this if you're talking about this intuitively, if I think that's the way I'm understanding this, that to send light to that situation immediately. If you're feeling any bad vibrations about something, send the energy, send the light, send the healing. And the more that we give in to the negativity, the more that we have negativity. That's what I feel, that wherever you put your attention, the energy is going to flow. So I always try to take the negative and reverse it by doing something on a positive level. As far as the past life regression question, you said several people have said that you were a Nazi, but you don't really agree with that, or it doesn't resonate with you. Well, you know, it would be hard for me to make assumptions on that because, first of all, it would depend upon where you went and how this was done. You said it was done online or something, so I don't know the qualifications of the people, or if they are regression therapists, I don't know their qualifications, so I really can't comment on that. I can advise to you that the best way really to have a past life regression is not online or on the phone. I would go see a therapist in person, but also do your research. I think with any practitioner, if you're going to be paying somebody for this service, then you should research them, find out about them, or try to get a referral from someone that, you know, is reputable, that can steer you in the right direction, and, you know, just see what happens with that. So, unfortunately, Jason, I'm unable to comment on, to validate whether they're correct or not, because I don't have enough information to be able to give you that validation.
Let's start up on that one, too, on it. So we have about a few more minutes. We can do Gia's real fast on it. Thank you so much for that on it, Joanne. Quickly, we have just a couple minutes, guys, left, so make your question just real quick. One more, that's it. Sorry, everybody, can't get to you on it. Gia, could you come to the mic real fast?
And she's on her way.
Did you hear that?
I couldn't hear her clearly
on my
end.
Okay, she said in the last few years, she's had quite a people pass around her, and they've been on her mind an awful lot.
Okay, so she's looking to connect with the loved one past.
Right.
Okay, let me just turn into this here.
And your first name, Gia? Georgia.
Georgia.
Okay.
Thank you. Georgia. Okay. Actually, the sense I'm getting around her is a woman from spirit, and I feel this mother's vibration again coming through. And as I feel mom's vibration, I want to say that that she was very much aware the people around her when she passed, because she's showing me being in the hospital. She's showing me just kind of being in and out, where maybe at the end of her life she might have been more in like a coma, or just people felt she wasn't aware. And I see three, so I felt with this connection there might be three in the family or three children, because she's showing me the three. And would she understand that?
She says her mother's still living.
Okay.
And maybe my grandmother, she says.
Okay. And there would have been three people around her when she passed, or there's three children, because this is what she showed me, three.
Gia, do you, or Georgia, do you understand what she's talking about, the three people around her? Yes, she said yes.
Okay, good. And as I feel with this woman, I'm, you know, as I'm linking in with her energy, I don't feel she was a very boisterous person or real, real talkative. I feel more on the quiet side, someone who really kept to herself. Very quiet person. Let me just see what she's saying with this here, too. Interesting. I felt she might have had some problems with her heart, because I felt something in the chest, and I felt maybe heart-related with her prior to her passing.
She said, yes, she was the strong, solid type, and, yes, go ahead.
Okay, and let me just see what she's saying here with this. You know, I feel, it's interesting, I feel very crafty about this woman, like either she could have maybe did something with working with her hands, like even art or arts and crafts or something, that she liked to make things by hand.
She was a quilter.
A quilter, okay. Okay, because I feel like my hands want to move here with her. I'm very busy with my hands. And she might have had some frustration towards the end of her life with movement, because I feel like I'm stiffening up and I either have arthritis or joint issues here. And she might have, you know, had to stop doing what she was doing with her hands. And it was a passion for that. Interesting. I don't know. This is very... she just showed me an elephant, and I don't know whether she actually had an elephant statue or collected elephants, or someone collects elephants in the family. This is a strange image she's giving me, but I have to give that to her.
She said no, but write this down, Gia. Make sure that you do, you know, you still write this down. You have no idea what the elephant is about. That's okay. Just make sure that you just write down the information.
All right. I feel like someone in the family either hasn't, what I'm being shown is like a mantle with like an elephant on it or a shelf. And I feel where this is a connection to the grandmother.
Georgia.
So she may not understand it now, but just maybe just jot that down.
Okay.
And I want to talk about bread with her. Like I am getting loaves of bread, like either this woman loves to bake bread or the connection with the bakery where I'm smelling bread baking.
Okay. Do you understand the bread? Food was a big thing at family powwows, yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
She bakes the bread, yes.
She bakes bread, yeah, okay. I could smell it. My house just smelled like a bakery.
Very good, yeah.
Okay. And, interesting, okay. Huh. There's something, you know, I have to give this to her because this is what grandmother showed me, that there's some connection, somebody either have developed a rash or an allergic reaction or something. I feel like it's a skin thing where they need to get it checked because it's not getting any better. There's something with redness of the skin or a skin rash that grandmother is sending healing to that I feel that...
She's saying I have a horrible rash.
She has a horrible rash? Okay, she needs to attend to that. I feel like kind of like she's either waited too long or whatever she's using for it isn't helping it to heal, that she needs to go see her doctor or, you know, for them to prescribe something for that.
Okay.
And that, you know, this is also another way that spirit lets us know that they're around when they give us information like this. You know, they're around, they're watching over us, because that's something, a very specific condition that grandmother is acknowledging here.
Okay.
Okay.
We have a few minutes left, so on it.
Okay. I just want to say that, let me just see what else she wants to say here. You know, she's concerned because she says, you're so busy with everything, don't forget to take care of yourself. And I feel like that's a message here. And I want to acknowledge a male, like a brother in the family, too, that I need to acknowledge that somebody has gone through a major transition and may have to do with relationships or family, that she's sending healing there, too.
Wonderful.
And she wants to say hello. I mean, she wants to say hello and acknowledge the family that she's come through and that she's around. She's sending her love and healing.
There you go on that. Wow, Gia, there's lots of validations there for this on it. Gian, do you think with the elephants that, you know, would it be the client that needs to interpret that what elephants would mean? I mean, you know, I mean, she's looking at just the elephant. Could be white elephants, pink elephants.
Well, I got a gray elephant.
Okay.
I got a gray elephant. The trunk was up.
Okay, see, so there's interpretation for that. I think that's just not a cut and dry that she's not sure what the elephant mean, but there's, you know, I mean, there. For instance, you know, keep your nose up in the air. I mean, it's like, you know, who knows what spirit means sometimes when they give us symbols and signs of things.
Yeah, that certainly could be, absolutely. But, you know, maybe she can just check with mom or see if mom, it might be a memory that mother has with her mom. You know, it might go back and she might say, well, yeah, you know, we used to have the statue, or, you know, it broke, or we had it, or, you know, I don't know what happened to the elephant. You know, it's things afterwards that sometimes can come through. So we'll just have to see where it goes.
Absolutely, on it. Okay, and also, too, for more information about Joanne or to schedule readings with Joanne, you can contact her at www.joannegerber.com, and that's also, too, if you're interested in taking the classes there, go to her website. Any other news, up-and-coming news, Joanne, that we want to share before we're done?
You know, about the spirit, because I know your listeners are from all over, and a great way for them to learn, besides listening to your station as well, which is a wonderful radio program that you
Thank
have.
You.
If they're interested, to check my website, check the Spirit Schedule page, and there's a lot of great, interesting speakers coming up, and feel free to just log on, no passwords required, and it's a free forum. So, and if they'd like to get on my mailing list, they can also sign up there, too, as well.
Absolutely, and you can be heard, actually, in other places, too, that you do something with Boston. It was the bostonnewspaper.com?
Yes, it's the Boston Globe at boston.com. I am starting in March, going to be giving a second Monday of the month lunch hour psychic chat, which will be every month at 12 o'clock, on the second Monday at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So if anybody wants to tune into that, they're welcome to do that as well.
And there's not a small crowd there, though, is there, Joanne? I mean, as you were telling me, that there's over 500 people that join you on that.
Yeah, we have the chat rooms have been working out really well. And, you know, again, it's a great place for people all over the world to just log on. The Internet is wonderful access and has provided, you know, spiritual teachers with a place to provide education and enlightenment for those who have a desire to learn.
That's wonderful. Angela, we have about a minute left.
Well, Joanne, I just want to say how much we appreciate you coming on the show today and what incredible readings that you offered. And certainly, you're very talented, and I can see the ethics and the standards that you uphold. You know, I've done a lot of research on you. I have to say, tremendous testimonials, and we're just very proud to have you here today.
Well, thank you very much. I'm so happy to be a guest on your show, and it's been a wonderful opportunity, and thank you both very much.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome on that. And everybody, thanks for joining us today, and God bless, and have a great week ahead of you. Take care of yourself and your family. Bye-bye.